The reading then is taken from John chapter 6, verses 1 to 14. Prior to this, Jesus had healed on the Sabbath and defended what he'd done by claiming sort of divine authority and equality with God. So it starts. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he'd performed on the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they'd all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, "Surely, surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself.
Thank you, Lorraine. A wonderful reading. So now we've seen 2 versions, one in cartoon form and the other from the Bible itself. Well, what do we get from that, I wonder, from the feeding of the 5,000? I'll just get myself organised here. Well, it was all set right where Jesus was, and I want to ask a question. I'm stuck. Who's that chap up there? You've heard of that film? I'm a star. I'm in Frozen. Oh, here we are. The question I ask is, do you wish you were there? You wish you were there. We've already had one postcard today, and here's another postcard of that very area. Do you wish you were there around the Sea of Galilee? Well, the Sea of Galilee, the Sea of Galilee was not just a pretty place, it was a very important place. It was somewhere that was well known. It was an important commercial area. A lot of business was carried out there. It was surrounded by many big towns. It was a popular place. Listen to this, had a semi-tropical climate. Wish you were there? Probably. There were sulfur springs there. It was believed to have healing qualities. There'd be a cue for that, wouldn't there? Yes. The Sea of Galilee became a popular health resort. People who were unwell just wanted to be there. There were a number of people who were taken there for that reason. So it's interesting and makes sense to read that in verse 2 of that same chapter, it says, a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed, listen to this, by healing the sick. There's something interesting there. That area was known for being healing area. The waters were healing area. People went there for healing. They went to the waters for healing. And yet the one thing they recognized about Jesus was he healed. Why did that stand out? Because the whole area was healing. That's why people went there. Because something special about the way Jesus did it wasn't about performing some ceremony or dosing themselves with water or doing anything special. It was just by the word of God spoken from the mouth of Jesus that stood out so much that it just got mentioned. That was so much there. They couldn't help it. So if you went there, what would you see? Well, you would see Jesus sat down with his disciples. They were about to eat. Nothing unusual about that. On the mountainside, it could have been around the area of the Golan Heights as we know it. But they were there. They were going to eat, but there was no food. You see, people had followed Jesus from far and wide, but no one had taken anything to eat. What were they going to do? So we ask ourselves, what would we see? The next thing we ask ourselves if we're going to somewhere on holiday is, what's going on? What's happening? What's going to be there? Well, it's interesting because at this time it tells us in verse 4 that the Jewish Passover was close. That means that the area that was already busy was going to be busier still, because anyone within walking distance or even traveling distance would have to be there for Passover. So now the numbers would increase by far. So we have an area that is known for healing, yet Jesus is mentioned for being the healer. We have an area that's known for lots of people visiting, but now there's even more people visiting. You see, this is a climax area. Things are building up to an area of something very special. In fact, one person, a 20th century theologian, he reckoned this. He said that he reckoned at this time, with all that's happening there, the population of about 20,000 to 30,000 people normally there would rise to 150,000 people. And Jesus was there to show them what true healing, what true blessing, what God had for each one. Significant, because of course people would know their Old Testament. They would know that Passover was associated with Exodus, where God led them out from slavery, but they had to sacrifice a lamb so that the angel of death angel would pass over them, hence the feast of Passover. So Jesus was about to perform a real miracle and provide food. So the next question they might ask is this: what is the food like? What will we see? What's going on? And what's the food like? Those are the things I ask when I go on holiday. We're going on holiday in September, and I want to know what sort of things I might see. I've already had a look. What things might be going on? What activities will be there? What can I join in? And most importantly, what's the food like? We've been to that place before. The answer is, I'm not eating anything from now until then because the food's scrumptious. That's not the only reason we're going. Well, it is the only reason we're going there, but anyway. And so we get this point where Philip said, well, there's all these 5,000 men, and many people come in. Well, yes, what about the wives and children? So there are huge amounts of people there. Where are we going to buy bread enough for that those amount of people? I mean, you know, they didn't have Tesco's or Aldi in those days. Where am I going to get that? And if they did, would they have food for 5,000 plus? Some estimate it could be between 10 to 15,000 mouths to be fed. Where am I going to get that much food? So Jesus said, there's a boy over there with his lunchbox. Well, what good's that going to be? I have to admit, I'm rather glad about this. The other day I noticed that Nick had left his lunchbox behind. So I'm going to see what sort of things Nick would have. So here's Nick's lunchbox. Well, actually, it's not big enough for his lunchbox. It's his morning break box. But here we are. As you know, Nick is known for healthy eating. Why are they laughing? So I want to see, I'm expecting some carrots, some lettuce, some mung beans. Let's have a look. Well, what have we got? Chocolate brownie. Possibly not quite what I expected. This is his healthy eating, by the way. Packet of crisps. Oh, Nick. Chocolate creams. I did tell you it was Nick's, didn't I? Oh, a club. biscuit, healthy eating. Oh, then he decided to pick up a penguin. So there we go. Well, I don't think much of his lunchbox, do you? What's this? There's something at the bottom. Just a minute. This must be his serviette, because knowing Nick, he would have a tablecloth and a serviette, wouldn't he? Let's have a look. What's this? Oh, Nick. He couldn't get it in his lunchbox, but he couldn't do. With all that food, he had to put this in. A picture of a beef burger. Honestly, Nick, what are you getting up to? I don't know. But I wonder, we might mock him. What do you like in your lunchboxes? Now, I'm going to ask the children, when they take lunchboxes to school or out on a picnic, what do you like in your lunchbox, yes? You have to shout at me. You're a chocolate brownie girl. Oh, well, there's one here. Nick must have taken it from you. I'll tell him off. Anybody else? Yes, what would you like, Ben? Sausages. I actually think that's a brilliant idea. That's what I would have. Any other young people up there? What would you like in your lunchboxes? All gone shy on me right now. Sorry? Chocolate, right, yes, definitely. No surprise there. Anyone else? Any adults? What would you like in your lunchbox or picnic baskets? Banana. Banana. Oh, don't be all healthy on us. Goodness me. We have a banana. Well, we don't have a banana. We have a banana. Anything else? They're all being very quiet on me. Well, we all have, like, different things. But how many of you would happen to have a few loaves and a few fish? We might have loaves and fish, but there'd usually be the fish inside the bread for us or something like that. So, oh, you've got Chris. That's what you would have in your lunchbox. I don't blame you. Makes sense to me, that one does. So what would happen there? So the question is, what would they see if they went to this place? What was going on? Well, they saw crowds. They saw the area that was well known. What was going on? Well, there was Passover going on. What was the food like? Well, Jesus was going to show something about this food, what was already out. You see, he was asked a question, how are we going to feed them? That wasn't a question Jesus had to ask himself. He knew. He knew that there was food there. It didn't look much. Absolutely. It didn't look much. To others, it seemed inadequate. Does your life at times look inadequate? Do you sometimes feel inadequate with the things that life gives you? Do you sometimes feel that you don't have the resources that you feel you need? Then look to Jesus. They didn't have what they needed. They didn't have enough food. They had a little. But what did they do? They gave to Jesus what little they had so that Jesus could give to them what abundance he has. That's a lesson for each one of us. If we trust God and give to him, what did God say to Moses? When God called Moses to set a whole nation free, what did he give Moses? A position in authority? No, he just said to Moses, what's that in your hand? He likes chips. We all like chips. What's that in your hand? And Moses didn't say, oh, it's a scepter or a great staff or a sign of authority. He just says it's a stick. And God used that stick to part the waters, to do great miracles. What's in your hand? What do you have? As inadequate as it may seem, give it to God and he'll fill in the gaps. He'll provide what was needed. And at this moment, there were many questions being asked of Jesus. There was the food. There was the idea of compassion. The Bible often says that he looks at people. And in fact, one account says there that he looked at the crowd and saw them as sheep without a shepherd. He had compassion. The word compassion simply means to suffer. He understood what it would be like to travel and have no food. He had compassion. Other areas, it means the need of others. Practical challenges. An opportunity to stretch the faith of people. The cost being met of the food. So many questions are brought up by that one situation. But Jesus met them all. Another of his disciples, it says in verse 8, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said, here's this boy, but it won't be enough. What answered there? A boy. And next week, of course, as Nick reminds us, next week we start our new series about boys, girls, young people, young men, young women. God here used a boy. I believe God can use children, young people, who he will. I may have told this story before, but it bears repeating. I was visiting some people one day, and earlier that week I'd knocked my leg and I was just limping a little bit. It was nothing serious, just a bruise. But I was just limping, and a lad, I think he was about four, he asked me, "Why am I limping?" So I said, "Well, I knocked my leg on something and I've got a bruise and it's just a bit sore. It's all right, nothing much." And this little four-year-old just put his hand on my leg and said, "Jesus healed David's leg," and he did. Jesus healed a little boy, a young person. Whatever age you are, doesn't matter. Whatever stature you are, I started ministry when I was 20. It doesn't matter how old or how whatever you are. That's our scripture, isn't it? Don't look down on people because they're young, or because they're inexperienced, or any other reason. Here was this child who was used by God. And it all looks a bit haphazard. You know, here's Jesus with a crowd of 5,000. He didn't bring any food with him or anything like that. But it wasn't. It was all planned. It was right there. Notice what it says in this verse. It's a weak signal. I'm a weak signal. Well, this weak signal says, Mark chapter 6, verses 39 to 40 says this. And notice this detail. Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. That's Mark 6, 39, 40. It wasn't haphazard. Jesus said, sit down in groups. It was organized. He organized it. God is not a God of chaos. And we've just been looking at things about the Holy Spirit, talking about speaking in tongues, giving messages in tongues, giving interpretation, prophecy, and all the other wonderful gifts that the Holy Spirit has. Yes, they're wonderful. It looks haphazard, but if we use them according to God's direction, it will always be ordered. God's not a God of chaos. It may look like that at times, but God is not a God of chaos. He's a God of order and direction. And if his gifts are used correctly, it will be just so. So feel free to use the gifts that God's given you. It will be just right. God is a God of order. And one last thing I want to point out before we close. So they felt inadequate. They felt out of order, but God set them in order. And next, we see something else. It says at the end that they gathered up. There we are. They sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. And it says in John 6, 13, that they gathered up the leftovers. No waste. God's not a God of waste either. There was no waste. They gathered up all the leftovers. Now, notice one little detail. How many disciples did Jesus have? I'm sure you've been taught better than that. 12. How many basketfuls of leftovers? 12. Now that's interesting. You see, the disciples doubted that there'd be enough food. But Jesus provided the food. He said to his disciples, go and feed them. And I can imagine these 12 disciples going out as Jesus started to break this food and it just kept coming and coming. And they kept giving it out. And they were as confused as anybody else. They had no more faith, it seems, than anyone else. But they gave what they could. They obeyed Jesus. And if we obey Jesus, when we come back, what happened? They all received the food themselves. You can never outgive God. You just go out and do what you have. You say, but I'm not very good. I haven't got much. I'm not skilled. I'm not anything else. But if you're obedient to God, when you come back to him, There'll be a basket full of leftovers for you. There'll be something more than enough for you. People had enough to eat. There were leftovers for everyone else. He will never forget you. And one very last thing that I see from this act of blessing. It came this way. First of all, the food was brought. The child brought the food. Secondly, Jesus blessed the food. The food was blessed. Then the food was broken. If it wasn't broken, it would never have fed them all. And finally, it benefited each one. That's also a picture of us, you know. If we give ourselves to God, what do? We bring ourselves to him. And when we bring ourselves afresh, then we're blessed. We're anointed. Everything we need is there. If we bring ourselves to God, it may mean that we're broken. It may mean that Jesus has to sort a few things out in our lives. But when we do that, God uses us to benefit the society in which we live, to benefit others. So this simple little story, here it is. They didn't have enough food, but Jesus used a child. They didn't know what would happen, but Jesus was there and he was able. They didn't have much to give, but Jesus blessed what they had. And they bought themselves. They were blessed by him. The food were broken and people benefited. May that be true in our lives. And just one little treat as we finish this, just to close with. Some time ago, some various young people, they bought things that we could sell to help their work. And there was some paintings by Catalina Wright. And Rosie went and bought me a present, one of Catalina's artworks. And this is what she bought me. I just wanted to show you that. I wasn't on that picture at the time. But there we are, that wonderful picture of the loaves and fish. May you think of yourselves like that. Inadequate, not enough, but bring yourself to be blessed, to be broken, to benefit, to be used by God. Father, may we learn these lessons. May this old story come to us ever new, and may we be blessed and bless others as we commit ourselves afresh to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.